Chapter 10. Sirius, Trees in the Forest. Sirius knew that he and Lupin couldn't actually spend much more time together now than they could before. They finally had their own bed, which he was grateful for. But they were also more aware than ever that people were actually trying to hunt them down to take Harry back. The first couple of days, he and Remus had traded shifts, constantly keeping an eye out for hooded figures sweeping out of the darkness. Remus had spoken to the people who owned the field by himself. He explained he'd be staying for a few days, that he wouldn't be a problem and just needed to sort out a few things. No one had found them yet. That didn't mean they weren't looking, and Sirius knew they had to move to another location soon to try and keep Harry safe. He hated it, though, especially when Remus had to disappear to inform the Order and pick up a new way of communicating with them. A coin which would glow if there was going to be a meeting and would reveal its location. Sirius was getting angry at the Order. Snivellus and Dumbledore had chosen to hide Harry's survival, and he hated that. Hated how they thought they could order Remus around. Hated that Remus let them. Sirius was currently in his dog form because he was tired and wanted to doze, while still keeping alert for any signs of danger or potential risk to his family. Remus was lying on the bed, but Sirius could tell he wasn't asleep. His body was too tense, too alert. He clambered up onto the bed and nuzzled up close, letting Remus cuddle him for comfort. He knew that the entire situation was taking its toll on his lover. Remus was a good man, who cared a lot, but he'd never been cut out for war and running. In a kinder world, Remus would have lived in the time of peace, where his biggest concern was the chaos Sirius himself caused. He regretted their trip to Diagon Alley, but all that he knew Draco adored having her want. It had been too risky. It could have cost them everything. He wasn't sure if it was Ollivander who'd betrayed them, or someone else who'd seen them there. It didn't particularly matter who it had been. The point was that now Voldemort was apparently aware that they had the boys. That meant that they were in danger. Remus scratched his ears, and Sirius felt himself relaxing a little by accident, nuzzling into the touch. The sound of child-sized footsteps approaching made him look up, and he morphed back into a man as Draco knocked smartly on the open door before walking in.
"Excuse me."
The boy spoke softly, perfect and elite as always. He had some children but clutched to his chest, and Harry stood at his left-hand side, his hand resting over that hateful mark.
"I've been talking to Harry, and I think we might have found a potential answer to his difficulty with wands."
Sirius bit back a laugh. Ollivander hadn't been able to find one. Anyway, Ollivander was never getting near Harry again, not with that curious way he had looked at the boy. Not with how he had treated Harry like a particularly interesting specimen for study.
"All right, shoot."
"Harry's too powerful for once, based on what was said in that shot and what he did. But he's not the most powerful wizard ever. Not yet."
Draco looked up at them, hope and fear obvious in his eyes.
"But Merlin,"
he opened the book and showed them a picture.
"He used the staff, and maybe Harry could."
"It's worth a try,"
Remus answered, before Sirius could say anything too scathing.
"Where are we going to get a staff?"
Sirius muttered, and Draco flinched, drawing his shoulders up towards his ears and cowering a little. Sirius felt another twinge of guilt.
"We can investigate. It's not safe to go back to Diagon Alley right now, and there are no other wand makers in the country who I think could handle it.
We can try and put together something. Even if it doesn't work now, it's a good solution, and we can try to use it later,"
Remus promised, his voice gentle and careful. Draco smiled trustingly up at him and led Harry back to their room. Sirius cuddled closer to Remus, allowing himself a moment to kiss him briefly before pulling away.
"You think it's a good idea?"
"I think Harry needs something. From what Draco is saying, Harry's magic is just getting stronger. So we have to try and find something he can use to channel that power. A staff is as good an idea as any."
Remus sighed, one hand resting on Sirius's back as the other stroked his hair.
"One of us should go and check that no one is coming."
"I'll do it,"
Sirius offered. He was exhausted, but that didn't matter. He wanted Remus to get at least a little more rest.
"You get some sleep, Moony."
He leaned in, kissed him sweetly and pulled away, slipping into his dog form to go and guard the door of the tent. The following day, they moved on to the Forest of Dean. They had another few weeks before the full moon, but Sirius knew that Remus was already counting down, that he was already afraid. Once the camp was warded, they took the boys to play outside, and Sirius morphed into his animagus shape to play. Draco was wearing a set of robes he often used for being outside, which he would tolerate getting muddy, and Harry was wearing some trousers and a bright red t-shirt so it'd be easy to spot if he ran off. Almost as soon as they were out, Harry had scrambled up a tree barefoot.
"Draco! Draco!"
Draco looked up at him and frowned a little.
"I can't climb up there, Harry."
Harry frowned, waved his hand, floated Draco up into the tree with him, and balanced him carefully on a branch. Sirius saw Draco's expression show a moment of fear, before he closed his eyes and reached for Harry's hand. He barked up at the boys, watching as Harry walked along the tree branch, leading Draco with him.
"Maybe come down from there," Remus called,
responsible as always. Harry jumped down, landing at a crouch, and then he giggled and floated Draco down with far more care than he had shown for himself. Draco wobbled a little and leaned back against the trunk of the tree.
"Harry," Draco mumbled, "please don't drop me." "Harry, no drop. Draco's safe,"
Harry promised, and he reached for Draco's hand again. Draco took his hand almost instantly, eyes wide with concern, but not protesting. It occurred to Sirius that Harry had listened to Remus that time, and he glanced over at Remus. Remus gave a small incline of his head. He'd noticed that progress as well. The two children ran off through the trees together. Remus was following them, so Sirius took some time to play, running around and enjoying having space. He'd been trapped for too long, in his cell and in the house, and in the tent. It was good to move now, to run around freely, chasing Harry and flopping across Remus's legs. They played for a while. It was good for the kids to actually get to spend some time outside, and Sirius wanted to make the most of the early September weather. The air still warm and the sun still shining. He saw a particularly big stick. It was about as tall as Draco was, a thick branch that had fallen from a tree. Rather snugly, he got his jaws around the middle of it, carrying it back triumphantly and putting it down at Draco's feet.
"I can't throw that for you, Sirius," Draco told him,
and Sirius rolled his eyes, wagging his tail and moving forwards to nuzzle against Harry's leg. He couldn't smirk in dog form, but he reached up with one muddy paw and pressed it against Draco's robe, where his wand was carefully tucked into his pocket. His paw left a rather satisfying print on the grey fabric. Draco shot him a glare, but a moment later his eyes widened, and he nodded as Sirius shifted back.
It might work.
He turned to Remus.
"Sirius got mud on my robes. Can you fix it, please?"
Remus cast the cleaning charm. Draco wiped his fingers over the clean spot, fussing at his robes for a moment, and staring at the stick, curious. He reached out for it, carefully breaking off one of the smaller twigs that still was attached to the main branch.
"Harry?"
Draco asked, and instantly Harry's attention was on the other boy.
"Remember that staff I showed you in my book? Could you take the little branches and bark off it, so it looks like the staff in the book, please?"
Harry did so with a wave of his hand, and a moment later the stick had become a staff. Remus applauded, smiling encouragingly the way he always did when Harry used his magic.
"Okay, I think it's time we go home to the tent," Remus told them. "It's getting late. But well done, Harry."
Remus picked up the staff, and then the boys took his and Sirius's hands, the four of them forming a square. Then they apparated back to the tent. Quick monitoring charms confirmed no one had been near the tent while they'd been gone, and the four of them headed inside. Remus looked over the large stick.
"Will it work?"
Draco asked, curious and hopeful.
"I don't think so," Remus told him gently. "Not yet. It doesn't have a call."
"Where will we get a call?" Sirius muttered. "I mean, I can try and chase a unicorn, but..."
He didn't think a unicorn hair call would work well for Harry, given that the call famously didn't like dark magic. Using a wand with unicorn hair in its call for dark magic would normally break a wand, especially when casting with the force Harry used.
"Call?"
Harry asked, and Sirius felt warmth settle in his chest. Harry was actually joining in with the conversation, rather than getting Draco to pass on every message.
"There needs to be a call and a wand," Remus explained, "from a magical creature, to help with channeling the energy."
He looked up at Sirius, and Sirius could see his own despair matched in Remus's eyes.
They'd tried, but they could do much more to help Harry use his magic in a way that would be accepted.
Draco?
Harry asked. The other boy turned towards him, humming curiously.
What is it, Harry?
Harry shook his head.
Draco.
He crossed his arms.
Sirius frowned, looking between the boys. It was clearly not Harry's fault he had so few words. They'd been stolen from him thanks to the cruelty he had endured. Still, it was difficult at times not to know what it was that the boy was saying.
It wouldn't work, Draco said gently. It needs to be from a magical creature.
Draco, magical, Harry said stubbornly, then waved his hand, forming glowing lights.
Lumos.
Sirius glanced at Remus.
I don't think that would work.
He shrugged his shoulders, and Remus shrugged back.
We can try,
Draco said softly.
We've not got anything else, and we're in a forest, so we can always find more branches.
He swallowed, running his fingers through his long hair.
You don't have to do this, Draco, Remus said gently. Or we could just use a few strands if...
Draco shook his head.
I'd like it cut.
After the polyjuice, he shrugged a little. I wasn't allowed for a long time, in case Harry wanted me to have it long. Sirius frowned at that, and again tried not to think too much about what the relationship between these boys was meant to be. It was clear even to Sirius that they were devoted to each other, but he knew that wasn't the intent. Harry was kind, and he doubted that was what Voldemort would have wanted. He hated the man more for what he'd done to Harry than what he'd done to James and Lily.
Okay, well, how long do you want your hair to be?
Remus asked, and Draco gestured towards Remus in answer. Remus smiled a little and nodded, reaching for his wand.
You're sure?
Draco nodded quickly.
Please.
All right,
Remus smiled, drawing his wand.
I can give you a haircut. I used to do it for my friends at school all the time.
Sirius grinned at the memory, watching as Remus walked over only for him to be pushed away by some invisible force. Not hard, but firmly. He stumbled back a little, and Harry glared, crossing his arms and resting a hand on Draco's side.
No.
Harry.
Sirius tried to keep his voice from growling.
If Draco doesn't want to have long hair, that's up to him. You need to let us sort it out. It's important.
He shuddered, remembering his own mother insisting on cutting his hair when he was younger, even when he had hated it and wanted to rebel.
No!
Harry shouted, making Draco wince. He wrapped his arms around Draco and glared at them.
Harry,
Draco said quietly.
Please.
No, Harry shook his head.
No cut! No hurt, Draco!
Draco mine! Draco safe! Draco blinked back tears, trying to look braver than he was.
But Harry!
No!
Cut, Draco!
Harry said firmly, followed by hissing angrily at Remus with a fury that Sirius hadn't seen before. His eyes seemed to glow a brilliant gold, and Sirius could feel the power of the boy's magic in the air. He thought of what it looked like when Draco was making the tip of his wand light up, and when he and Remus cast wards. The difference in power between his magic and Draco's was nothing compared to this. It felt hard to breathe, and he was almost pinned in place, the air bitter with power. Draco whimpered, and Harry continued to hold him tight.
No cut!
Draco whimpered again, and this time he didn't argue.
He thinks.
Remus tried to speak, but a moment later the words seemed to be snatched from him, leaving him silent. Sirius tried to call out, but he found he couldn't either.
Harry.
Draco's voice was little more than a whisper.
Can you let them go, please?
No hurt, Draco,
Harry muttered, and he sounded like he was pouting.
They won't hurt me,
Draco promised.
Please let them go.
Harry's magic receded, and his eyes returned to their normal emerald. His arms were still around Draco. Remus was gasping for breath. Draco frowned, looking at Harry curiously.
I want short hair, Harry. And it might mean we can get your staff to work.
No hurt, Harry mumbled, sounding sulky now, looking at Draco for guidance.
It won't hurt.
Draco twisted in the other boy's arms, grabbed a strand of Harry's curly hair. He carefully snapped it halfway along the length.
See? Doesn't hurt. Okay.
Harry nodded, still frowning, reaching out to pat Draco's hair.
Doesn't hurt?
promise. Draco leaned in and hugged Harry for a moment, and Sirius could see how he was shaking a little from emotion. The tension in the air seemed to lift, and Harry looked at Remus carefully.
Doesn't hurt Draco?
I won't hurt him. I won't hurt either of you, Remus promised. He walked over and raised his wand again.
Wait!
Draco rushed back to his room, returning with his hair in a ponytail.
If you cut it now, it'll stay together, and we can use it for the core. I watched Severus prepare hair for potions before.
Remus nodded, then used the simple spell to cut the hair, and Draco beamed at him. Remus carefully neatened the boy's hairstyle, but Sirius could see the sheer joy that was spilling from the boy. He understood it. He remembered how he felt after Azkaban, afraid and desperate to find Harry, but needing to be clean first. It wasn't the same exactly, but he wondered if it was a similar kind of relief. Harry seemed to be happy now that Draco was happy, cuddling him and then grabbing his fox toy to play with, while Draco's nimble fingers braided the cut ponytail. Remus carefully hollowed out the staff using his wand.
You know this might not work, Sirius muttered under his breath.
Maybe, but if it doesn't, that's not an issue. We're no worse off than we were, and Drake is happier with short hair. Remus shrugged calmly, as though making a staff for a ridiculously powerful child and using the hair of another child as the core was an everyday activity. Drake brought over the braided hair, and Remus floated it into the staff, sealing it inside.
Harry, do you want to try this?
He held out the staff towards him.
We're not expecting it to work, but you can try.
Harry nodded, putting his hand around the staff and looking towards Draco.
Lumos.
A searing light filled the tent for a few moments, bright as the sun. It faded, and Sirius tried to blink the after-image away. He looked at Harry. Harry was still holding the staff. It hadn't turned to ash like the wands had.
Well, fuck, Sirius muttered,
and Remus laughed softly beside him. Lumos apparently wasn't the best spell for an overly powered child to try. Sirius learned that multiple times over the next couple of days. The tent walls were made of thick fabric, designed to block out most sound and light, but whenever Harry tried to practice a spell, it would wake everyone in the tent. Draco was getting grouchy from lack of sleep, and Sirius was feeling the same. Sirius couldn't help worrying it would draw further attention to them, that someone might spot the brilliant light and realize Harry was there. The unfortunate thing was, he wasn't really sure what spell would be better for Harry to put his energy into. Incendio was definitely out because they were in a forest, and Agramenti was also not a good idea. Sirius occasionally entertained himself by imagining the outcomes of various spells Harry might try. It didn't matter. Right now, Harry practicing anything else wasn't really an option, and even using the staff quickly bored him. He'd try a couple of times, and then put the staff down and wander away to play with whatever he'd found that day. Sirius and Remus had agreed not to force it. What matter was that it had worked. Harry wasn't going to be wandless forever, and that was a good sign. There was no rush to perfect his casting yet. He was still too young for Hogwarts. Remus frowned at the coin he'd been given by the Order.
I've got a meeting. You okay with the boys?
We'll be fine. You could ask around, see if anyone has any advice for spells.
You know we can't tell them about Harry, Lupin pointed out, glancing over at the kids.
Draco was reading, his head in Harry's lap as Harry stroked his now short hair.
No, but they might have something. If nothing else, Dumbledore's powerful. Maybe he knows stuff he did when he was younger.
I don't think I can ask that in a non-suspicious way, Remus told Sirius with a fond smile. He kissed him, waved goodbye to the boys, and then stole another kiss before walking outside the wards and apparating away. Harry looked at Sirius, expectant.
What? Sirius asked, grinning.
Dog?
Harry said hopefully, and a moment later Sirius had slipped into his animagus form, bounding around the room and moving to flop against Harry's legs. Draco looked a little upset, but didn't actually pull away, and after a few breaths, he reached out to stroke Sirius's fur. Harry smiled contentedly, and for a little while the three of them sat like that, Harry patting Draco with one hand and Sirius with the other. Sirius found himself wondering what would happen next. He knew people were looking for them still, and he didn't feel safe with Remus away. It was foolish, but waiting in the tent made him feel like a sitting duck.
You two want to go outside and play?
Harry nodded enthusiastically, then looked towards Draco.
Draco inclined his head, and Harry nodded more enthusiastic than before. For all that Draco was a brat and a danger, Sirius could ignore how happy the two boys were in moments like this, how utterly content they appeared to be, and how they were able to understand each other. Draco went off to get changed into the robes he didn't care so much about, and Harry looked in the grass at the doorway of the tents for bugs. Soon Draco reappeared.
"Are we going far?"
"We won't go too far. Just a little way," Sirius promised.
Remus would be gone for a while, but Sirius thought they should be ready to move their campsite when he returned.
"Can I take my wand?" Draco asked quietly, looking up at Sirius.
"Sure."
Sirius understood. Not having a wand when you were a wizard felt awful. He missed it constantly in Azkaban, his absence another gaping wound to add to the rest. All that Draco would be able to do with his wand if they got into trouble was create a small light. But he wasn't going to mock the boy for that. If nothing else, there were plenty of other things he could mock Draco for if he wanted to. Harry left his staff in the tent, preferring to have both hands free for whatever twigs or interesting rocks he found as he headed along. Sirius apparated them a short way from the tent. There was a river, and he thought it would be a fun place for the boys to play. Anyway, if Harry got too muddy, it'd be easier to clean him there. Harry was a little strange about washing. He didn't want to get wet and just used his magic to clean off. But playing in a river was fun for him, and Draco minded being damp less than he complained about being dirty. Sirius settled into his dog form and watched Harry run around, picking things off the ground and then racing to Draco to show him what he found. Draco seemed to care and show interest in what Harry had shown him. Sirius wasn't sure about Draco, not entirely. He knew from his own upbringing how deeply ingrained some of the prejudices Draco held were. But he also knew that Draco cared for Harry a great deal, and Harry needed someone to care. He and Remus were doing all they could, but without Draco, he didn't think they could manage. Without Draco, they probably would have lost Harry. It was a lot of pressure to put on the boy, and Sirius wished he could spare the boy from it. There were times when Draco looked pained, when Sirius knew he missed his family and the life he should have had. But then there were days like today, when he looked happy beside Harry, as though everything was as it should be. He tried to focus on that positive as he gambolled along beside the water, jumping in and splashing about simply for the joy of it. The sun continued to shine, and Sirius wondered if he should have insisted on Draco putting on some lotion to prevent him from burning again. The boy turned red easily when they were playing outside, but he never complained, even if it must have been uncomfortable. Remus, ever the responsible one, always ensured Draco was protected from the sun. Reluctantly, Sirius shifted back and walked over to the two boys. Harry was sitting cross-legged on the ground. Something was moving on Draco's left sleeve. Stepping closer revealed it was the skeleton of a mouse, which appeared to be running around across the crab brick. "Is..." Sirius began, and Draco looked up, a guilty expression on his face. The skeleton mouse ran down to the ground and moved towards Harry.
"Sorry, I told him to tie it up, but, He looked down. "We were only playing. He was sad it wasn't moving anymore, and,
Draco swallowed, clearly aware that they had done something wrong.
Maybe don't play with dead things," Sirius muttered. He stared at the skeleton, the way it was moving. He knew the word for a reanimated corpse. Inferius. Dark magic. Powerful dark magic. Of course, all the inferi he'd heard of were human, but it was still the same magic.
"I'm sorry," Draco said softly, speaking for both boys, before his attention turned to Harry. "I think the mouse is tired now. It needs to sleep."
He used his fingers to dig a little hole in the dirt, for once not complaining about getting muddy. Harry waved his hand, and the little mouse Inferius scampered into the hole. Draco looked at Harry curiously.
"Did you make it sleep?"
Harry nodded, and Draco carefully covered the skeleton with dirt. Draco looked up at Sirius, clearly trying to work out how much trouble they were in. Sirius crouched down.
"Harry."
He repeated the boy's name a couple more times, until the child looked up at him.
"I don't think you should do that, okay? Dead things are meant to stay dead. Do you understand?"
Harry looked at him blankly and glanced sideways over at Draco. Draco tried to do a subtle nod, and then Harry looked back at Sirius and nodded at him. Sirius could feel a headache forming. He wished Remus was here. Remus would know what to say. He supposed this would be a discussion to have that evening.
"No!"
Harry said suddenly, jerking backwards and pressing his hands over his eyes.
No!
He started to convulse on the ground, and Draco was instantly at his side, resting his hand on Harry's arm and whispering to him. Harry screamed, and Sirius grabbed him, trying to see what was wrong. He grabbed at Harry's arm and pulled, and the eyes that stared back at him were red. He dropped Harry's arm an instant. It must have just been a trick of the light, but it had looked so real. He was almost afraid to try and look at him again. A moment later, there was a sound of a loud crack. Someone had apparated into the clearing. Then another crack followed, and another. He pulled out his wand, moving to stand in front of the boys. Harry was still rolling on the ground, chanting,
"No!"
But Sirius couldn't help him when he needed to be ready to fight. There were five figures there now, and Sirius knew he couldn't draw all of them. He tried to throw up a shield around them, but a blast to his side nearly knocked him off his feet. He heard Draco scream from behind him, then heard the note of the boy's scream change from fear to pain at a flash of light. Then a purple flame struck him. Agony burned across his chest, and he felt himself spit up blood. Another spell cut his face. Another cut his leg, and blood began to seep through his trouser leg. He tried to throw up another shield to protect the boys, if he could. He realized this wasn't looking good. It wouldn't work. He was outnumbered at least 5-1. They were exposed on open ground, and only Sirius was armed. He knew that he wouldn't be able to stay conscious much longer, not with the pain he was in, not with the amount of blood that he was losing. Draco was on the floor, and Harry was still shouting, barely aware of the world around him.
"Harry, grab Draco, get out of here!"
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Reverend Pye. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 11. Draco, out of hiding. Draco felt like he was frozen. He knew he had a wand, but he didn't know any spells that would be helpful here. Didn't know what he could do that would help. He couldn't fight like Sirius, and Sirius was bleeding now, badly. His clothes were soaked with blood, and the men were coming closer. Draco felt like he couldn't breathe. Another spell was thrown his way, and he screamed, howling and crying in agony. He tried to remember how to make wolfsbane potion, just to give his mind somewhere safe to hide, because he was going to go back. He was scared because he knew he would get Severus and Mother in trouble, and knew he wasn't strong the way that they were. They were going to be hurt because of him, and he couldn't concentrate on the potion, or on anything other than the men that were walking closer. One of them laughed, and reached out to grab him, and he curled up on the ground as small as he could. Harry was still screaming. The men weren't touching Harry or going near him, but they were surrounding him. Draco knew they were going to take them. They'd go back, and it would be bad. He was scared of what would happen, of what they were going to do to them when they were back there. What the Dark Lord would do. He didn't know what would happen, but he knew that it would be bad. Sirius wasn't moving anymore, and Harry was still screaming. He risked a glance at the masked men, hoping to see Severus, but he wasn't there. He dropped his gaze again. It would only be seconds, and Draco knew he couldn't fight. He knew he was the only one in the right state, but there was nothing he could do to fix this. He was powerless. A thought struck him. He pulled up his sleeve and pressed his entire hand to Harry's mark.
"Harry!"
He screamed the word and tried to push his magic into the mark. There was something he could do. Harry looked up at him, green eyes bright, and then looked around them, focusing on the masked men.
"No!"
Harry yelled, and he was standing now. He stared at the first man, reached out, and then twisted his hand. The man cried out, his body crumpling and blood flying through the air. A second burst into flames, screaming. One of the others apparated away as Harry held the other two frozen, then shook them from side to side with a wave of his hand.
"Draco is mine!"
Harry told them and slammed one of them back into a tree, the man's body sinking into the wood. The last, Harry flung into the water. The water began to bubble and froth, and Draco looked away, feeling like he was going to be sick. He stumbled to Sirius, reaching out for him. Sirius was asleep. His eyes were closed and his breathing was funny. His breath seemed too fast, too shallow. There was blood. Lots of blood. Draco tried to push up Sirius's shirt, looking for a way to help. There was a big cut. Big cuts and burns that looked like they were beneath the skin, and Draco could feel himself crying. He thought he was meant to push on the cut, but it was too big for his little hands. He didn't want to lose Sirius. Sirius had been kind to him lately,
and made sure he was allowed short hair. He made Harry happy, and Draco didn't know what he could do to help him. He reached for Sirius's hand. It felt cold and damp. Sirius was still breathing, but it wasn't right. "Harry!" he called out, not looking at the bodies of the masked men. "Harry, help!" Harry rushed over, frowning. He put his hands on Sirius's chest first of all, his eyes glowing golden. The wound began to knit closed. He reached out to Sirius's face and traced the cut with his fingertip. It faded as Harry touched it, disappearing into his skin.
"His leg,"
Draco instructed, pulling up Sirius's trousers leg to show the gash there. Sirius was still pale and cold, but he was breathing. The masked men that had come to take them weren't breathing any more. Harry pressed his hands to the wound, and it closed as well. Harry was covered in Sirius's blood, and Draco was as well. His hands were red. Draco whimpered. One of the masked men had left, so more might be coming. He didn't know what to do, but they couldn't stay here, and Sirius was too big to move.
"We've got to get out," Draco told Harry.
He felt like he needed to scream or cry, but he knew he couldn't because Sirius was injured, and Harry wasn't good at this. That meant he was the adult. He was in charge. He fought to take big, deep breaths so he didn't start crying again. It wasn't easy. He wanted to cry, but he couldn't let himself cry, so he made himself take more deep breaths and looked at Harry.
"We've got to go somewhere safe, the three of us."
His voice wasn't quite as steady as he would have liked, but he thought he'd done well enough.
"Harry, can you take us both?"
He wasn't sure if Harry could, and the thought of Harry leaving with Sirius scared him. He didn't want to be on his own when the masked men returned. They'd be angry, and they'd hurt him. Harry nodded and reached out to put his fingers against the band on Draco's wrist.
"Take both," he promised.
He reached out for Sirius's hand, and Draco copied the gesture, letting Harry wrap one hand over his mark, the other holding onto Sirius. They held onto Sirius as tightly as they could. The world spun around them, and he found himself moving with Harry and Sirius, everything unsettled and chaotic and twisting for a moment. It wasn't steady the way it was when the adults operated them, and they seemed to be falling. Draco was aware he was dirty, that he had Sirius's blood on him. That thought sickened him as they landed at the place Harry had decided was safe. For a moment it was quiet, and Draco didn't want to look up and find out where they were.
"The hell is this?"
An angry male voice broke the silence. Draco looked up to find an ugly man with scars on his face and a strange eye looking down at him. He'd drawn his wand and was pointing it at them. Draco made himself look around. There were eight adults around the table. A round lady who didn't have her wand up, sitting beside a teenager with pink hair, who was aiming her wand at them. The ugly man. An older man who looked upset, but wasn't pointing his wand. A man wearing deep blue robes and an earring who had his hand on his wand, but was aiming it at Sirius, not at them. Remus. Severus. And a very big man who was pointing what looked like an umbrella at Sirius. Sirius was still all crumpled and pale, and Harry didn't seem to realise the danger he was in as he waved at Remus excitedly. Draco quickly put his wand down on the floor, holding his hands in front of him with his palms up and wrists crossed to prove he wasn't armed. He glanced at Harry, who wasn't doing it, and reached out to grab Harry's hand and position them. Sirius wasn't doing it either, but Sirius was asleep. His heart was beating so fast he wanted to be sick, and he knew Sirius's blood was still covering him. He felt like the room was spinning.
"I claim sanctuary by the purity of my blood."
His voice was shaking more, and he really wanted to cry.
"Fucking supremacist bastards,"
the big man was muttering under his breath. And Draco knew that he was going to get into trouble, and he was shaking too much. He was scared. He didn't think he knew these people, and if he didn't know them, then he didn't know who would help. He knew that normally the masked men would spare pure-blood children. He didn't know if that was true here.
"Isn't that..."
the blue-robed wizard was saying, still focusing on Sirius.
"I think so."
The ugly man with the weird eye had his wand pointed to Sirius, but he was watching Draco and Harry with the eye.
"Stop!" Remus's voice cut through the tension in the room. "Boys! Boys, what happened?"
"We..."
Draco could feel himself struggling to speak now. He didn't know how to answer without getting in trouble or getting someone else in trouble, and he was scared.
"We got found. Sirius got hurt bad and..."
He sobbed softly,
his shoulders shaking.
He tried to protect us.
You're safe now, Remus answered.
The wards,
the pink-haired girl was saying, and Severus shook his head.
There's nothing wrong with the warding.
Young Mr. Potter here is capable of bypassing whatever wards he wishes, Severus answered, and then he stood up and walked over to Sirius.
Excellent healing. He'll live, unfortunately. However, he is very short on blood. I assume this is Potter's handiwork?
Yes, Severus. Sorry.
Draco tried to sound calm, but he knew his voice was shaking worse now. His hands had gone all shaky, but he still tried to hold them up, so he could show them he wasn't trying to attack. Severus waved the comment away, reaching into his pocket and pulling out a potion which he held to Sirius's lips.
What in the name of magic is going on?
The ugly man asked, and Draco thought it was strange that they were in a room where the walls seemed to move a little. He felt very dizzy. The round lady got out of her seat and helped him sit down. Her touch to his arm was warm and gentle, and he realized how much he missed his mother.
Here you are, dear. You sit down now. Looks like you boys have had quite the time.
They're witnesses, Molly, if not perpetrators. They don't need coddling, they need to give answers,
the ugly man was saying. But the woman, Molly, wasn't listening. She sat Draco down and frowned a little.
Are you injured at all, dear?
No, ma'am.
All right. You're safe here, both of you.
Now don't you worry. She glanced up at the other adults. I think we're going to need to have a talk, but you're not in any trouble. Would you like me to make you a hot chocolate? There was something about the way she asked that which made Draco start to cry anew. Harry leaned in for a cuddle.
Can you cast a cleaning charm, please?
Draco whispered, his voice sounding weird to him, as though he was talking underwater. She nodded and did as he asked, and that helped a little bit with it all. His clothes still felt dirty, but he knew they weren't, and that was a huge relief. He didn't feel steady at all, but managed to mumble his thanks. Harry handed him a sweet, and he obediently ate it. It helped a little with everything, but he was still shaky. The adults were all looking at him, and he thought he might be sick. Molly took off her shawl and wrapped it around him, and he was worried he'd get it dirty, but it was warm and felt safe. There we are now, dear. She stroked his hair back from his face as Harry insistently clung to his left arm. He glanced down, glad that Harry hadn't pushed his sleeve up. He didn't want these adults to be angry at him for the mark, and he knew how angry Sirius had been.
Sirius safe?
Harry asked after a moment. He was directing the question towards Draco, and Draco didn't know because there'd been so much blood. Some of it was still on Harry's face and hair, and Harry had killed some people at
Draco.
Severus's voice cut through the air, and he walked over and rested his hands on Draco's shoulders.
Look at me. You have to control yourself.
He's scared,
Molly protested, and she moved to try and stand in front of him.
He has to remain calm, Severus told her. Draco, you're worrying Harry. You have to tell him that you're staying here for now.
There was a firmness to Severus's grip, and he understood. Harry had killed those men. He could kill the people here too if he wanted, or he could take them back to the Dark Lord, and the Dark Lord would hurt Draco, and Draco was scared. He made himself nod.
Harry, we can stay here, with Sirius and Remus.
His voice didn't shake that much, and after a moment, Severus released him. Harry nodded quickly.
Draco's safe.
He wrapped his arms around Draco, hugging him, and Draco very carefully pushed down the parts of him that wanted to scream. He tried to wipe at his eyes. The tears kept coming through and he couldn't stop them.
I'm sorry,
he whispered to Severus, because he was meant to be better than this.
You've got nothing to apologize for, dear, Molly said softly. What happened?
They found us, Draco whispered. Five of them. Sirius fought, but they hurt him bad, and they were going to take us back and it was scary.
He didn't know what to say and didn't want to get Harry into trouble, but they'll work it out. Harry healed him. That was good, Severus said thoughtfully. He didn't look angry at Draco, just concerned.
Do you know who was there?
Dolohov, I think. I don't know the rest, Draco answered. He's dead now.
He was shaking again. That's quite enough of that for the moment, Molly said firmly, tucking her colourful shawl more firmly around Draco's shoulders.
Now, I think Lupin has some answers to give, but these boys need to be somewhere safe and quiet. We can go and sit in another room, and I'll get you a hot chocolate.
Can Harry stay with me? Draco whispered. Please. Or is he in trouble?
Neither of you are in any trouble, dears. We just need to make sure you're right, that's all. She gently took Draco's hand and started to lead him away, pausing to pick up his wand and hand it back to him.
They should be interrogated separately,
the ugly man growled, and Draco whimpered. He knew he had to be brave so Harry wouldn't be angry, but he was scared of what would happen if anyone tried to take him away from Harry. He didn't want to be away from Harry. That won't be necessary, Molly said with surprising determination.
Tonks, can you come through as well? Maybe you can help ask them some questions when they're ready to talk.
Molly gave Draco a very gentle cuddle and led him through to another room. As the door closed, he could hear shouting happening behind him. He focused on Harry's presence at his side and the fact that the adult that was with them didn't seem to mean them any harm. She settled them down on a comfortable sofa and walked over to a couple of cups, humming to herself as she made two hot chocolates. She carried them back to them.
Can you please make Harry not have blood on? Draco whispered,
and Molly cast the second cleaning charm over both of them.
Thank you.
Draco tried to be polite, at least, to keep her happy. Molly smiled gently. You boys did well coming here. You know Lupin?
He and Sirius have been keeping us safe, Draco said quickly. We're okay. We're just hiding with them.
Molly's lips pressed together tightly, but she nodded. Well, you did wonderfully managing to come here, and you're safe now. She hesitated, looking between them. Harry was quiet, resting against Draco's side with one hand over his mark. When Tonks comes through, we can talk, but you won't be in any trouble.
I don't think I can talk about it yet,
Draco mumbled, because he didn't know what else to say. If there were no answers that would cause problems, maybe he could just not give answers. He hoped that Tonks wasn't the ugly man. He didn't think he'd be able to lie to him, and then Harry would be in trouble, no matter what Molly said. That's all right, dear. Molly smiled at him and he nodded, shaking a little. Harry's arms wrapped around him and he clung to Harry in return. He didn't know what was going to happen now, but he was with Harry, and he trusted that Harry would do what he could to keep him safe. He pressed his face into Harry's hair and started to cry. Harry gently patted at his arm and stroked his hair.
Draco's safe now,
Harry repeated, and Draco tried as hard as he could to believe him.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Bebu Pai. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 12. Lupin. Home. The meeting had begun adequately, if not well, before the interruption. Remus had been refusing to spend time among his kind. He couldn't leave Sirius and the boys. His refusal was angering the Aurors, but he found an unlikely ally in Snape. Snape, of course, understood why Remus had to remain where he was. But neither of them could mention the children that were sheltering with Sirius. Remus had been allowing his mind to wander a little to block off part of his mind from Moody's reports, when someone had apparated into the heavily boarded building. Remus didn't think he'd ever forget the sight of his family there, bloodied. In that moment, he understood what his mother had gone through the night he was turned. She'd been the one to find him, when he'd been returned. And she'd put bars on the window, as much to keep the monsters out as to keep him in. And Draco tried to keep Harry safe. Bloody and shaking, and he had tried his best, even when he couldn't put into words what had happened. Remus tried to stay calm and work out what happened next, now that their cover was blown. Dumbledore would know that they had gone against his wishes. But his focus was on Sirius's crumpled body. It had been Snape who went to check on Sirius, because Remus didn't think he could move. Loss of blood, but no injuries. He clung to that knowledge as Molly walked over and defended Draco the way that Remus should have done. He started sinking into guilt. He'd left them. Sirius could have died, the children could have been captured, and there were some obvious flaws in the story Draco was telling. Sirius was still out cold, and slowly, he walked over to him and rested his fingers on his throat to feel his pulse. He saw Molly tend to the boys, and he knew that she could do this. She didn't have a monster beneath her skin that Draco was afraid of. She wrapped Draco in a shawl and went to take him and Harry away from the rest. Remus knew he should have been the one to do that, but he couldn't leave Sirius. He heard Draco tell a mixture of truth and absence, and even though he was sick with fear over Sirius, he was amazed by how well the child was managing. And then the boys were taken from the room, and the veneer of calm that everyone had been fighting to maintain fell away between one breath and the next.
"What the fuck is going on, Wolf?"
Moody snarled, and Remus felt a stab of pain at his words. Moody had always been decent about his condition, despite everything.
"Sirius will live," Snape announced to the room at large, vanishing the blood from Sirius's robes with a wave of his wand. He'd lost a large amount of blood, but it appears all his wounds were closed. Had anyone other than Harry been there, given the nature of his wounds, he would have succumbed.
"You got lucky today, Remus. The potion he's been given is already taking effect, but it will be a few hours until he's fully recovered." Remus walked over, crouched beside Sirius, and stroked his fingers through Sirius's hair. He wasn't sure what was going to happen now, but he knew he couldn't let his family get hurt. Molly would defend the children. The safest place for them at the moment was in another room. With them safe, Remus was left with protecting his lover. Sirius's breathing had slowed to a normal rate, but he was far too pale, and he didn't seem to be aware of where he was or what was happening.
"Sirius didn't kill James and Lily," Remus told the others, "and Harry survived."
"Severus!" Albus interrupted him, staring at the potions master with disgust and anger.
"What is the meaning of this?"
"I didn't tell them. The Potter boy turned up in my living room one night with Draco, and Remus and his mutt appeared and left with them."
"That..." Hagrid's voice cut through the room.
"That little Harry Potter? He... you said he was dead, Dumbledore."
"I thought he was," Dumbledore said, and there was such calmness there.
Snape looked angry, and Remus was sure he looked angry as well.
"Bullshit!"
Sirius spat the word, his eyes fluttering open. He grabbed onto Remus's hand as tightly as he could.
"You must have known."
"You didn't see the state their house was in,"
Dumbledore spoke softly.
I didn't think anyone could have survived."
He said no more, and Snape didn't argue. Sirius growled and only quieted when Remus continued to stroke his hair.
"So what happened to the Lord Tyke?" Hagrid asked.
He shrugged, and Remus shook his head.
"He's been through hell. Him and Draco both. We're doing what we can for them, but we know that... you know who has been looking for them."
Remus spoke carefully, not wanting to get into the details of what had taken place. There were three auras in the room. It would be easy for them to turn on Harry for what he was and what he was able to do.
"You knew,"
Sirius growled, trying to sit up and falling weakly back down onto the floor.
"I assure you I didn't. I don't have heightened senses,"
Albus said softly.
"And I'm not an aura or a Death Eater. I don't have the courage to poke around in the ashes for a child's body. Not when I believe he'd been blown apart from the spell used. Obviously I regret my mistake, but I simply wasn't strong enough."
Remus didn't think he trusted that. It was hard to doubt Albus after all Albus had done for him. But at this point, he couldn't believe that the man he'd known, the man who was always fearless, had failed by anything other than choice. Kingsley nodded slowly.
"But if the Potter boy is alive, then the prophecy..." "The prophecy still would hold," Albus agreed. "The child in there is our greatest hope."
Remus could feel Sirius tensing beneath his fingers and carefully stroked his hair. Sirius couldn't afford to attack anyone now, and he was still weakened. The others around the table looked thoughtful, except Severus, who looked angry.
"I'll go talk to them," Nymphadora murmured as she got to her feet, her hair getting a little longer and gaining stripes of different colours.
We've got a chance then, don't we?" She sounded so young at that moment. But her hope was reflected on the faces of Hagrid and Kingsley, and even Moody looked in better spirits than he normally was.
"What happened, Pads?" Remus asked, leaning in to whisper to him. "Because Draco wouldn't say."
"Not here," Sirius answered, his voice little more than a breath. And then he was fighting to sit up, and Remus supported him. He sat on the floor as Sirius propped up against him. It took a moment for Sirius to catch his breath again.
"We got ambushed by a group of Death Eaters. I almost died. They almost took the boys. I got lucky, I guess."
Remus caught Snape's eye and remembered his words. If it hadn't been for Harry, Sirius would have died.
I don't understand how this happened,
Albus said, and he sounded almost angry.
What part of it? How did you find Harry when we never knew that he had survived, that there was a chance of finding him?
I can answer that, Snape spoke. The boys appeared in my house. I suspect that was because Draco, my godson, has always been fond of me. And Remus? Remus requires his medicine, and so they overlapped.
You knew! You fucking stinking traitor!
Hagrid yelled, raising his umbrella and pointing it at Snape.
You knew they got the kid and you didn't do nothing?
Indeed, I didn't do nothing. Snape shook his head, the smallest of smirks visible on his lips. I'm not saying I'm proud of my actions, but I'm too well placed to risk my position with the Death Eaters for anyone, even those I care for.
You don't give a shit about Harry,
Sirius muttered, and a look of pain crossed Snape's face. A moment later, it was gone.
I care for my godson, Sirius. You must at least understand that. When he was chosen to be Harry's, I could do nothing for him. I care about the boy dearly, but my role mattered more than that child's safety. He's a fucking kid, Hagrid was shouting,
and Moody was frowning as he looked between them.
Are there others?
Moody asked, his gaze fixed on Snape.
No others like Harry, no. None like Draco either. A few of the Death Eater families have children, but these children are living normal lives as much as possible,
Snape answered diplomatically. Remus was glad Snape hadn't explained exactly what like Harry entailed. Sirius was shivering and curling towards Remus for warmth. Remus was quick to wrap his arms around him, providing the comfort and reassurance his lover needed. If Harry hadn't been there, Sirius would be dead by now. That certainty was chilling.
We've got to protect the boy, Kingsley said quietly. Make sure he's safe.
Mooney and me can do that, Sirius answered. I don't want to draw attention, and I know somewhere we can go.
Perhaps it would be best for the two of you to continue this conversation in private, Snape said softly. If the boy does mean as much as you all believe, perhaps it is best his location is not common knowledge. The Dark Lord will be searching for him, and I will have to report this interruption.
Hagrid muttered something deeply unflattering under his breath, and Sirius growled quietly, clutching Remus.
The boys are okay? Sirius asked, and Remus nodded.
Shaken, not hurt. They just need to be safe. You know who will know they're with us for certain now.
He hated that. He felt afraid. Because the Order had lost so many. There'd been so many deaths, so many betrayals. And he knew Sirius couldn't stand being hidden away the way James had been.
We'll be all right, Sirius promised.
And we must try to trust him in this. He did trust Sirius, and even if it seemed impossible, he would trust him in this as well. For a few minutes, the discussion continued, the others arguing over the fate of the children. Remus looked at Sirius, and he knew Sirius shared his certainty that they weren't letting their children go, and they weren't letting them be harmed. Remus looked around at the Aurors, knowing they'd need answers. He thought of how very pale Draco had looked, how much blood Sirius had lost.
We should take the boys and leave now. You've got the coin to contact me.
I'm not.
He looked towards Albus, locking his eyes with the other man.
I'm not letting the kids remain in danger a moment longer than necessary.
This place is warded,
Moody began, and Remus shrugged.
Not against Harry. If he's able to get in, then there's a risk he was followed. For the sake of the Order, they need to be somewhere else now.
Albus nodded sharply.
We will be in contact with you both. Mr. Black, we are glad to have you back.
Sirius's body tensed, and Remus was about to try and hold him down, when Molly poked her head around the door.
Are you all okay here? I think that the children really need to see Remus and Sirius. The poor dears are working themselves up into quite the state.
Bring them in, Remus said softly, before leaning into Sirius, his voice barely more than a whisper.
We'll take them and run.
My parents' house, Sirius whispered back
as the boys appeared. Draco, supported by Harry, looked like he was going to collapse. Draco hesitated, glancing at Snape.
Severus?
Snape walked over and embraced the boy.
You did well today, Draco.
Draco nodded sharply, wobbling a little. He looked exhausted, but still held his head high,
Severus? Is my mother alive?
She is, Snape answered, no longer looking Draco in the eyes. She conducted herself with grace, and I believe in time she will fully heal. I shall do what I can to ensure she is present when I report on the fact that you and Harry interrupted the meeting.
Draco looked at him and nodded slowly, and bit his lip as though he was trying not to cry. He walked to Remus, still wrapped in Molly's shawl. He hesitated, looking to her and unwrapping the colourful fabric from himself.
Mom, do you need...
You keep it, dear. Now, if you need to see me at any time, I'm here for you. Molly smiled softly and Draco returned the smile damply, before curling up even closer to Harry. The boys reached out, and Remus focused on them and on Sirius, whispering to him, You strong enough for this, Pats? Sirius nodded, stumbling to his feet and grabbing Remus. Half expecting to be stopped at any moment by a wand at his back, Remus walked out of the room and headed towards the door of the safe house. Close your eyes, Harry, Sirius muttered, and Harry did as he was told, leaning on Draco. Remus didn't question it. Not here. If Sirius didn't want Harry to see, he had his reasons. They reached the door of the cottage and stepped out onto a path, Draco leading Harry, who kept his eyes shut. The wards parted and let them out. Remus and Sirius embraced, the children between them and the world around them moved. What happened? Remus asked, as soon as they found themselves facing the door to Grimmauld Place.
Harry, eyes closed,
Sirius insisted, pushing open the door and almost stumbling forwards. He was still far paler than he should have been, and his body was trembling, but whatever potion Snape had given him was working. They stepped into a house layered with grime and dirt, and Draco whimpered softly but didn't protest. Almost immediately, there was a screech from a painting.
You are never to return here, Sirius, bringing your filth!
No, Harry said quietly, and he waved a hand. The painting became still and silent, gazing out with only her eyes moving.
Quiet. Draco head hurt.
Draco leaned his head on Harry's shoulder for a moment, only trembling a little.
Thank you, Harry.
Harry cuddled the other boy close. His eyes were still closed as Draco led him through into a room that was probably once a parlour, prior to 4 years of utter neglect. Remus wasn't quite sure how the house had degraded so much in such a short time. He cast a quick scourgify on a chair at the table for Draco, because the boy still seemed unsteady. Draco sat down where shown, and leaned his head forwards, resting it on top of his arms on the table. Harry stood beside him, eyes closed, running his fingers through Draco's hair.
What happened? Remus asked again.
He wasn't sure what had happened, but he needed to know. Sirius sat down in his own chair, and Remus stood beside him, his arms around Sirius's shoulder, supporting him and ensuring he didn't fall off the chair.
Harry had one of his episodes, Sirius began. His eyes glowed red, and then 5 of the Death Eaters appeared. I was never going to, he growled softly to himself. I couldn't protect the boys. I couldn't stop them.
Harry stopped them, Draco said quietly, his head still resting on the table. He killed 4 of them. The other one left, so he had to leave before he brought more of them. I'm sorry if we did something bad.
The boy sounded so defeated then, and Remus ached for him.
You did well, both of you. All 3 of you, Remus corrected, pressing a kiss to the top of Sirius's head. My brave boys.
He turned to Draco.
Did you tell Nymphadora?
I told Miss Tonks that there was a fight, and Sirius was hurt, and Harry healed him and took us to safety because she said Sirius couldn't have evaporated through the wards.
Draco kept his voice level.
She can make her face do funny things.
There was something about that detail which made Remus's heart twist, but at the same time, he was grateful that Nymphadora had been the one to handle them.
All right, you all did so well, Remus said, because he realized he had to be calm and reassuring.
Draco pulled Molly's shawl around him, still half flopped against the table. The poor boy was clearly exhausted, and Harry kept patting him.
Harry, what happened with your eyes?
Sirius asked, and Harry continued to pat Draco. Stifling a yawn, Draco turned to Harry.
Harry, are your eyes okay?
Harry nodded and opened them, looking around with green eyes.
Can you ask him what happened?
Remus tried to keep his voice gentle,
He knew Draco needed to sleep, but they needed answers.
Harry?
Draco looked up at him.
What happened?
No. Harry shook his head and then frowned, pointing towards Draco's eyes.
No eyes?
Harry shook his head again, pouting to himself. He leaned forward and licked Draco's hand, and the boy shot him a glare.
Lick.
Harry pointed at his tongue.
No lick,
Draco repeated as Harry pointed towards Draco's eyes again. It took a moment before Draco spoke.
No, seeing? No, look.
No, look. Harry beamed at him, hissing contentedly for a moment, clearly happy that he'd managed to get his point across. He hissed again before repeating,
No, look.
What?
He means the Dark Lord.
Draco's voice was trembling.
That hiss. I've heard him use it when he spoke to him.
Remus and Sirius exchanged their own looks. Remus didn't want this to be true. It certainly didn't sound possible. But what Harry had managed to convey, and what Sirius had described, all seemed to fit together with a horrifying sense of certainty.
You mean Voldemort saw through his eyes?
Sirius snarled, and Draco flinched at the name, whimpering to himself and making Harry glare at them. The boy's eyes were a vivid green now, and his arms were around Draco protectively.
No hurt, Draco!
We don't want to hurt either of you, Remus promised gently. You aren't in trouble, I promise. We're just trying to work out what happened, that's all. He gazed at Sirius, thinking of all the times Harry had screamed and covered his eyes. The idea that all along he'd been fighting to protect them. It was horrifying.
Can we sleep soon?
Draco asked softly, and Remus made himself push aside concerns about fighting. It was still early, but he could tell Draco was going to fall asleep at the table if he wasn't given somewhere else.
Yes, where? Not Reggie's room, Sirius said quickly. There's a few bedrooms they can use. There's one up this flight of stairs that could work, but just check there's no B-O-G-A-R-T-S.
You spelled Boggarts wrong.
Draco muttered from where he was flopped against the table, Harry still patting his hair. Remus smirked at Sirius, who rolled his eyes in response.
You three stay there. Yell if there are any problems, Remus instructed.
Then he went up the flight of stairs and found a small room. It looked like it had been a guest room, and the bed was mostly intact. He dealt with the boggart that was in there, and then set about casting cleaning charms and tidying it. He'd had a lot of practice over the years of tidying up after the wolf. It was familiar by now to clean away the debris and make the room presentable at least for tonight. He did the same to the small bathroom nearby, knowing Draco would probably want to wash. He returned to the boys and led them to the room.
Thank you, Draco mumbled.
We'll sort out dinner, Remus told them. But that won't be for a few hours. Get some rest.
Draco nodded and moved to lay down on the bed, Harry tucking against him and continuing to stroke Draco's hair. Draco at least seemed to be asleep instantly. Remus left them, heading straight back to Sirius and leaning in to wrap his arms around the other man.
They're going to be okay.
He shook his head.
I could have lost you today. I don't want to think about that.
I'm here now,
Sirius murmured, his face at Remus's throat.
We're okay.
I better see what else I can sort out. You get some rest.
Remus smiled at him fondly.
You want your old room, or?
Oh, Merlin. Sirius laughed. It's in a state. No, just somewhere near the boys, I guess.
We can share, right?
His tongue traced at Remus's throat.
You nearly died,
Remus muttered at him.
This is a terrible idea.
But I didn't die.
You've lost a lot of blood. I'm not sure you should do anything involving physical exertion.
You can do the heavy lifting, Sirius mumbled. I want you.
Could have died. Thought I was gonna die. So that means you're...
Remus. I've been dating a werewolf since I was a teenager.
Yes.
Sirius poured him into a deeper kiss, and Remus decided just this once it was all right to be stupid. He stood up, supporting Sirius's weight, before leaning in for another kiss. Sirius gazed at him with devotion, trusting Remus to take care of him. Remus snipped at his lip fondly, pulling a quiet moan from the other man.
I'm going to sort out a bedroom for us, if you're still conscious when I'm back.
He reluctantly pulled away after a moment, helping Sirius to lean against the wall. He wanted Sirius, but he knew if the other man was incapable of remaining standing for a few minutes under his own steam, this would probably require a rethink. He found a suitable bedroom, cleaned it as best he could, and headed back to the parlour where he'd left Sirius. Sirius was still standing, looking cockier than ever. He smirked, winked, and walked over to Remus, then kissed him again. Remus led him to the room he'd set up for the two of them.
"You okay, Mooney?" Sirius asked, the words little more than a breath against his lips. "You're looking worried."
"Of course I'm worried. I could have lost you today."
"But you didn't," Sirius answered with a grin,
laying down on the bed. Remus wondered how Sirius could be so calm about everything. Sirius was always like this, good at helping him out of his head when he felt too overwhelmed with guilt or fear to do anything else. It had been far too long since he had had Sirius like this, since he'd been able to run his hands over Sirius's body, knowing he was allowed to touch. He remembered to cast the silencing charm in the room, hoping that the children were too busy sleeping to disturb them. There was no denying that Sirius had changed since the last time they were so intimate. Even if Remus was able to ignore the current pallor of his skin, he had lost weight, and what remained was raw, wiry muscle. As he gently eased Sirius's robes, he saw scars that he didn't recognize marking Sirius's skin. Sirius leaned into the touches, desperate, and Remus was glad to give him what he needed, eager to touch and stroke him. For a moment it all felt perfect, and it was easy to forget that Sirius was still recovering from his injuries, even though there were no visible wounds. Sirius reached out towards Remus's shoulders, and winced slightly, but tried to cover it up with a grin.
"You're hurting,"
Remus asked softly, pressing kisses to Sirius's throat and chest.
"I'm fine," Sirius promised. "Won't you?"
Remus nodded, stroking a strand of hair back from Sirius's face.
"Don't want to risk hurting you today, Pads, so let me do this my way."
Sirius nodded, trust shining in those stunning eyes in a way that always made Remus forget how to breathe a little. It was familiar for Remus to kiss down Sirius's body and take his length into his mouth. Sirius moaned, his fingers stroking through Remus's hair, his head thrown back as he fell apart beneath Remus's skilled tongue. He hummed softly, his fingers gripping Sirius's hips hard enough to bruise, and heard Sirius's breathing stutter the way it always did before he came. He swallowed Sirius's release, then moved back up the bed to lay beside him and nuzzle at his throat. He was achingly hard, but what mattered was claiming Sirius's lips in another kiss and murmuring quiet praise.
"Can I?"
Sirius asked, always so hopeful. And Remus shuffled and undid his robes, guiding Sirius's hands to his cock and leaning in for another kiss. Sirius knew just how to touch him, and it wasn't long before he came on Sirius's hand. Sirius's gaze never left his as he licked his hand clean, and Remus smiled down at him, cuddling up close. Sirius's arms wrapped around him, and he felt a sense of contentment settle over him.
"Tired," Sirius announced with a smirk. "Fine, we can have a quick rest,"
Remus promised, pulling the blanket up around them both and cancelling the silencing charms. That way, if the boys called, they would hear them. It felt right holding Sirius against him. He'd missed this. And Sirius was alive, and safe, and real. Sirius's hands rested comfortingly on his hip, and he allowed his eyes to drift close.
"We need to get Harry's staff," Draco announced as he ate his dinner, and there was a sadness to his eyes as he looked across at Sirius and Remus. "If..."
He shook his head, curling his shoulders into himself.
"What is it?"
"My trunk,"
Draco mumbled, and Remus half expected the boy to demand that all of his possessions were rescued. He was aware they'd have to, but it was an additional stress they didn't need at that moment.
It's got a letter from my mother. If they get that, they'll hurt her again. Please."
Remus nodded quickly, trying to smile.
"It's all right. We'll get them. You weren't there when you were found anyway, so it should be safe. The wards will still be up for a while. They won't be able to get it, and we'll be able to collect everything."
He kept his voice as gentle as possible. Draco no longer looked like he was at risk of fainting, but he still looked somewhat exhausted.
"Harry can take us into the wards," Draco said quietly. "I'm sure he won't mind."
"Now?"
Sirius asked, then shrugged. And Draco nodded quickly, reaching out for Harry's hand.
"It would be good if we'd get them now. So Harry has his staff and his notebook and his clothes,
and I can have my candle.
He looked so hopeful.
Can you tell Harry to get us to appear inside the wards? Remus asked gently. That would be so helpful. If you can do that, Harry.
Harry reached out for their hands, and a moment later they were inside the wards, which was still holding strong.
Remus and Sirius quickly grabbed everything, packing the tent away and then taking the boys' hands to go back to Grimwood Place.
In a few days, the wards on the campsite would fade. Once they were at Grimwood Place, Remus floated the trunk to the boys' room. Draco immediately grabbed his potions book and relaxed a little once his hand rested on an envelope within it. There were instructions written on the page beside it.
What's that?
It's how to make wolfsbane, Draco told him, looking a little nervous to admit it.
Remus nodded, watching as the boy put the book to one side and searched through the trunk again. After a little while, he pulled out a small blue bag. He shoved his potions book into it and his toy dragging, and slung it over his shoulder as he continued to carefully look through everything. He poured out a couple of potions as ingredients and shoved them in, then added what looked like a bandage.
"What should I carry around with me?" he asked carefully. "So something happens, or would Mother's letter be safer in my case, or..."
He looked so nervous and serious that Remus's heart hurt for the boy. He was taking so much onto himself, trying to manage stresses that no child should have to live with.
"Carry around a few things that you want, or which might be useful," Remus told him gently. "And tomorrow, we can start to teach you Incendio. That way, if you need to, we can assure that they can't get that letter."
"Thank you."
Harry came skipping into the room, a photograph held against his chest. He rushed straight over to Draco, pointing at it and then at himself and Remus. Remus walked over and felt a sense of warmth settle on his chest when he saw it. It was Lily and James with Harry as a baby on his lap. Remus and Sirius were on one side of them. The photograph had been freshly torn, and Remus knew it was to cut Peter from the image.
"Those are your mother and father?" Draco asked quietly.
"They look happy, Harry."
"These are James and Lily Potter. They were good people. Kind people. And I know they would have loved both of you boys ever so much."
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Beverly Pye. Thank you for listening.
Chapter 13. Draco. Flying and Falling. Draco woke up to find Harry staring fixedly at the darkest corner of his room, his eyes glowing green. Harry didn't really sleep much, which was strange, but just part of how Harry was, like his magic or the fact he didn't like most foods.
"Harry?"
"Draco?"
Harry echoed, lifting his hand and pointing.
"Word."
Draco reached out for his nightlight. He really, really didn't want to go poking around in the darkness to find out what was there, but he also knew that he had to. So he grabbed his nightlight and climbed off the bed, trying not to think of stories of Leatherfords and hide-behinds. He took a few steps forwards and screamed when he saw eyes there, dropping his candle on the floor. Harry's magic caught it so that it floated a few inches off the rug. And a moment later, Remus and Sirius came running in. Remus was pulling his dressing gown around him and holding a second one. Sirius was being a dog. They turned on the lights. Sirius had his teeth bared, and Remus had his wand drawn. There was a house elf standing in the corner of the room.
"House elf,"
Draco supplied, his voice little more than a whisper. The house elf didn't look at all like Dobby. He was a lot older, and his eyes were bloodshot and angry. The house elf stepped forward with his head tilted to one side to look at Draco, and Draco tried not to whimper too loudly.
This boy is Miss Sissy's child,"
the elf murmured, looking at him curiously before reaching out towards him. Draco flinched back and felt Harry cuddle him from behind. Then Harry leaned to rest his chin on Draco's shoulder.
"Leave him, creature!"
Sirius's voice cut through the room. He was standing beside Remus now, pulling on his own dressing gown.
"You should have announced yourself when we got here. I'd hoped you died in the attic or something."
Draco winced and looked at Creature, who glared back at Sirius with far more anger than Draco had ever seen a house elf show.
"A natural man. Master Sirius is bringing in a half-breed into his house with Miss Sissy's child. And this other boy, what is he doing here?"
Creature, shut up. Go and tidy up or something. We don't want to see you.
Creature vanished with a loud crack, and Draco winced again, not liking the way Sirius spoke to him. It reminded him of how his own father would address Dobby, and he didn't want to see Creature hurt.
It's okay, boys, Reem said gently. It's late. You need to get some more sleep.
Creature's rude, but he's harmless. He isn't going to hurt you. He carefully tucked them back into their bed, not insisting they slept apart.
You sleep well. If anything scares you, you can call us, and we'll always come straight to find you. Okay?
Okay, Draco agreed. That night he cuddled up to Harry, sniffling as he thought about Dobby and about his mother, and Harry wrapped around him and kept watch. The next day, Remus started to teach him how to use Incendio, setting little scraps of paper on fire. Remus said it would be best if they didn't teach Harry that spell, and Draco thought of Harry's Lumos and realized Remus was probably right. Anyway, Harry didn't need to learn Incendio. That night, they were sitting up in their bedroom, Draco reading and Harry scribbling in his notebook. After a while, Harry got bored and he turned to the candle, running his fingers above the flame. The flame split, some of it turning into a snake that swirled around in the air, and the rest becoming a fiery dragon which soared over the table.
"Careful, Harry," Draco reminded, and Harry nodded, playing with the candle a little longer before he returned its flame to its normal form.
The next morning, Draco managed to set fire to most of a sheet of paper.
"What's the spell for making fire animals?"
"Fire animals?" Remus asked.
"Harry!"
Draco waved the boy over from where he'd been flopped across Sirius's furry form.
"Can you do the dragon snake fire thing to show Remus, please?"
Harry nodded quickly and clapped his hands together, showing off the fire again. Remus stared at it for a moment and then nodded.
Maybe be careful with that."
He smiled, but it didn't look like a real smile.
"Well done, Harry, but be careful."
He shook his head.
"Fire is dangerous."
He hesitated and walked over to Sirius, leaning down to mutter to him. Draco strained his ears to listen.
"I think Harry made fiend fire."
The adults said no more about it, but Draco was careful to tell Harry to only play with fire when it was just them, so they didn't get in trouble. The weeks passed. Remus spent the full moons in the cellar, and to go to meet with Severus and the Order to get the potion he needed. Draco made sure to carry his little blue bag with him everywhere, because he had all his important things in it, and if he had it, then no matter what happened, he would be ready for it. Sirius didn't like being inside all the time, because things were boring, and so sometimes they would go out and play in fields or in woods, always with lots of charms over them to make sure they weren't at risk of being found. It got snowy, and Remus and Sirius decorated the house for Yule. Draco read his mother's letter every chance he got, alongside practicing the charms he was learning and reciting the ingredients for Wolfsbane, making sure he remembered how to make it in case Severus ever came to visit them. Harry helped with the decorations, and Draco tried to help as well. Yule came, and Draco had carefully written cards for Harry, Remus, Sirius and Molly. He'd even managed to get Harry to write his name in all of them, other than Harry's own. Sirius cooked for them, and Remus read to them stories, and it wasn't right. It wasn't how Draco normally celebrated, but it was still a special day. Harry seemed excited to get a card from Draco, and one from Remus and Sirius. They got some new books for Draco, and some more toys that Harry wouldn't break. Draco and Harry had each got a card from Molly, and she'd knitted them each a blanket, which made Draco feel very warm and happy. He had got Sirius to shrink down the shawl that Molly had given him so that it would fit into his bag. That way, if he was scared, he could cuddle it wherever he was. He missed being able to wrap himself in it, but he could sleep with it over his toy dragon, and that was nice. Harry had got cards from people in the Order. Draco got his own card from Severus, but he wasn't allowed to give Severus one back because it wasn't safe. Still, he carefully put the cards into his trunk, where they would be safe and not get lost, before going downstairs to play with Harry again. Harry had some more beads and was having fun using his magic to string them together. Draco grabbed some of the beads and started to thread them by hand, ignoring the fact that Sirius and Remus were kissing. After they'd eaten a big dinner with a lot of different sweet things for dessert, Remus and Sirius were grinning widely.
"We've got something for you both."
Draco looked up surprised. He was still a bit surprised that the two of them had got him presents that were just for him,
Not for him and Harry. He certainly hadn't expected anything more than what they'd given him already. Sirius winked, and Remus walked out of the room, returning with two wrapped packages that were clearly broomsticks. He handed one to each of them. "These are enchanted, so that you can't go too high up," Remus explained calmly. "But we thought you might like to fly." Draco ran his fingers over the broomstick, carefully undoing all of the paper that was around it as Harry tore into his. It was a slightly battered-looking Nimbus 1700, the same as Harry had. He ran his fingers over the broom's handle, looking up at Sirius and Remus and beaming. "Thank you." He really wanted to fly. He'd always wanted to. He'd had a charred broom when he was little, before he ended up as Harry's. And then for 3 years he wasn't allowed to fly, because he wasn't allowed to have a normal life. Sirius and Remus were giving him a chance now to be normal. To fly properly, rather than just hover along a couple of feet off the ground, because that was seen as safer for little ones. Maybe when they got older, Sirius and Remus would take off the limiting charms, and they could really, really fly. "We'll take the two of you flying tomorrow," Remus promised. "We won't be able to do it that often, because obviously you're going to need to be somewhere that'd be safe for you both. That requires warding around the whole area, and it needs to be somewhere we won't be seen, but..." He gave them a proud smile. "I've got a meeting of the Order, and because it's the school holiday, we're meeting at Hogwarts, which is already strongly warded, so that none of the forces of darkness can get inside. The two of you can fly with Sirius' supervision on the Quidditch pitch there." Draco gazed at him in wonder. He and Harry were going to get to go to Hogwarts. It wasn't like they were studying. It wasn't real, and he knew that they couldn't go to the school. Remus had explained softly that it simply wasn't safe for them. Not with Harry the way he was. He said they could try to find a way for Draco to attend, maybe get him polyjuice that he would have to drink every single hour. But Draco knew that Harry wouldn't have coped without him, so he said no. Still, the thought of going to Hogwarts, even if it was just a game, made him feel very happy indeed. That night, Draco couldn't sleep, not because he was scared, but because he was excited. He was going to get to fly, which he had missed, and he was going to be somewhere special, somewhere he'd never thought he'd get to go. And best of all, he'd get to go with Harry. Just for a little while, they could fly, and be happy together, and not need to worry about anything bad. The next morning, they'd apparated to Hogsmeade. He and Remus and Harry had to drink polyjuice potion first, which had made Harry sad again because Draco's mark was gone. But if they were going to be near wizards, even at a distance, they had to be hidden. Draco knew that. He didn't like it, but he understood. There was a second dose of polyjuice for each of them in Sirius's pocket, so that they'd go back to Hogsmeade afterwards. He had his blue bag with all of his most precious things, and Harry was skipping along beside him, running ahead a little, and then returning to press his hand against Draco's invisible brand to comfort him. Remus was carrying both their brooms, and Sirius was walking beside Harry, being a dog. As they got closer to the school, the potion faded, and Draco felt happy to have his mark back again. Draco kept looking back over his shoulder as they walked along, so that he could take another look at the brooms. Remus caught him peeking and smiled. "I'm sorry I can't watch you boys practicing today. You be careful, and I can't wait to hear how well you do."
"We'll be careful," Draco promised. They walked along a snowy path, and slowly he could make out the shape of the castle.
He wasn't going to go inside today, he knew that. He was just going to practice flying on the Quidditch pitch, and that was enough. He never thought he'd get to be here at all. Getting to fly here was exciting, and he was happy, and Harry was happy too. The castle was beautiful. It was where he'd always wanted to be, but he knew he couldn't leave Harry. Harry needed him, and he needed Harry, and it wouldn't be safe. He had a wand, and he could do some spells, and that had to be enough for him. But for one day, he could let himself pretend. When they were on the Quidditch pitch, Remus handed over the brooms, hugged each of them in turn, and then went off for his meeting. Draco climbed onto his broom, spotting that his sleeves were getting a bit too far up his wrists to be right. He didn't know how he'd asked for new robes. He wondered if maybe in his books there were some spells about tailoring that he could learn to do. He didn't want to have to wear muggle clothes like Harry, and he didn't want to make Sirius angry at him by asking for robes. And then he was kicking off the ground. They didn't go that high up at first, only a few feet, as tall as Sirius's head if he was in his human form. The brooms wouldn't let them go any higher. Draco leaned forwards on his broom, racing ahead and feeling happy. He liked flying, and he liked the way that Sirius and Remus let him get back things that had been taken away when he'd become Harry's. He was still Harry's, a bit, but it didn't feel like a bad thing anymore in the way it had back then. Then Harry went zooming past, laughing. Harry was good at flying, and he went up higher than the brooms were meant to go. Sirius barked in annoyance. Then Draco's broom seemed to twist a little in his hands, and when he aimed it up, it went soaring up as well, straight into the sky. He imagined that he was a seeker in a Quidditch match, that there were hundreds of people below him all cheering for him. He could be in Slytherin, and they were going to win the match. He giggled to himself, trying to shift forward and send his broom down again, but being careful not to fall. Harry went streaking past before lifting up a moment later, going higher into the air than he had before, and it was fun. That was when Harry screamed. He soared up to the same height that Harry was at, trying to get closer to him. It had been a long time since he'd been on a broomstick, and he'd never been this high up on one, and he felt a little bit frightened. But he needed to get to Harry because Harry needed him. And then as he came closer, he saw the way Harry was gripping his broom. His eyes squinched shut. Harry! Draco tried to remember what he'd seen in his copy of Quidditch Through the Ages on how to transfer people between brooms in case of an injury. He didn't think he could do it, but he couldn't let Harry crash. Glancing down, he saw that Sirius had his wand out, and he was trying to get them both to safety. Draco tried to cling tighter to his broom as he tried to work out how to reach Harry. Harry's eyes snapped open, but they weren't Harry's eyes at all. They were the Dark Lord's. Harry leaned forward on his broom, going up higher, and Draco didn't understand because it was meant to be warded. It was meant to be safe. Remus had promised, and Remus wouldn't lie to them. Trembling, Draco lifted his right hand from his broomstick, pressing it against his mark to try and get Harry back. It seemed to work. Harry's eyes flickered green, and Draco thought maybe they should jump off their brooms, but he was too scared to do that. Sirius was shouting, but he couldn't make out the words or do anything other than try and hold his broom still and look towards Harry, trying desperately to work out how he could get them down. There was a sudden noise, someone apparating close to them, and he glanced back and regretted it. The Dark Lord was behind them, hovering in midair, and he had his wand pointing towards them. Draco couldn't think, couldn't move. He and Harry were going to die, and he'd never ever see his mother or Dobby again, and he wouldn't get to show Severus that he could brew Wolfsbane potion, and he wouldn't get to hug Harry ever again. He saw the Dark Lord's face light up in cold, cruel joy. Saw him raise his wand, staring directly at Draco. Saw him begin to speak, and then saw a golden flash as Harry zoomed towards him, reaching out, the air around them suddenly feeling very strange and full of sparks. Harry screamed. The Dark Lord's body tore apart in midair, his wand falling down towards the ground.
You've been listening to More Powerful Than Experience, written by Flight and Flame, and read by Bobby Pye. Thank you for listening.